fans, welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, and I'm joined today with Adam Stoker. How are you, sir?
Stuart, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, man. I'm being so efficient in today's episode. I'm squeezing this in between meetings. I literally had one 30-minute break today without meetings, so I didn't even give you an adjective today. It's just Adam Stoker.
Yeah, this is the weekly moment where Stuart reminds everybody how important he is now, and I want you to know I appreciate you, and also the Desties appreciate you squeezing us in.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, yeah. I mean, I've always got time for them. You, not so much. But I tell you who I do have time for.
That's our
returning Destie today, Dan James. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you so much.
We're glad to have you back. You're a top 10er, man. Your last episode is still in the top 10, and we talked a lot about agencies. I think we're going to be talking more about agencies in upcoming episodes, but we're glad you're returning. Hopefully you bring the heat again.
Oh, hopefully get some exciting trends and talk a little bit about where the, we're seeing boards going and some decisions being made. So looking forward to it.
That sounds exciting, man. I can't wait.
Yeah,
you know what
sounds
else is
super exciting.
Yeah. Do you know what else sounds exciting though, Adam?
I think I do.
What is it? It's Stu's News.
Is it Stu's News?
It is Stu's News. Did I go too quick for you? You haven't even got it.
You did.
Set
you
up.
Busted right into that segment.
I told you I'm being efficient today.
Very impressed. Yep. I just want to point out that Dan likes it.
Dan likes it? Are you inferring that from this?
It is something, all right.
Something. It is something. I like that. That's the best description anyone's ever had of this jingle. All right. So today's Stu's News is about Dubai. So Dubai just came out with a campaign at the end of July. I think it runs from July 20th through October. But basically for residents that live in Dubai, if they nominate an international friend, family member, and they actually travel before October 31st, then the resident is going to get an incentive, and it's in the form of packages. So you can get hotel stays, restaurants, attractions, and for each person that you recommend, you can get up to 3,000, whatever the local currency is there, in value. And so you can do it up to three times as an individual. So technically you get 9,000 worth of value. So what's interesting about this is they announced this back in at the end of July. Within the first 48 hours, they had over 10,000 applications for this. So it's just an interesting vehicle where you know, Adam, you've talked about this on the show before, where the number one reason that people travel is to visit friends and family, but turning your residents into advocates is maybe a good way to drive incremental travel. Now, I think the cynic in me is like, well, how many of those folks were already going to travel? And if I knew my family were planning a trip, then I would try to just leverage this anyway and get the reward. But I thought this was novel. I think we're going to see more experimentation like this from DMOs as we sort of try to figure out where our value is, you know, how are we driving value to our community beyond clicks. And so I just thought this was a neat experiment from Dubai. So Adam, I'll let you respond to it.
Yeah, and without having had a chance to read the article in its entirety, I'll speak to the overarching principle that you're sharing. And I think if you look at what's happening at a macro level right now, that digital experiences are increasing because of AI, but also the amount of experiences where a human is in the loop is decreasing, right? You've heard the dead internet theory and all of that. What I think that creates is that as we're thinking about how to get a message to resonate with an audience, having that human in the loop is going to become more and more important because you can trust someone that you know, right? And we're almost going back to what I believe is like the very start of what marketing was, where if somebody heard a friend say something about something they could buy from or a place they could visit, that was the most likely thing for them to actually go have that experience. That's never changed, and yet we've spent so much money, time, and effort to find other ways other than word of mouth to get people to book a trip and make a travel decision. And I feel like with where we're going from a digital perspective with AI, even influencers that you follow may not be real people in 3 years. And so the only people that you know you can trust is likely visiting friends and relatives, or excuse me, the people who would lead to visiting friends and relatives. And so the idea of mobilizing your locals I don't know if this Dubai method, like I could see a lot of potential waste, right? But with people saying that their family booked a new trip because of the program or whatever. But
Sure.
outside of that, mobilizing your local community, the question is how. And I'm not saying that I've solved the how, but if you can do it, it will be the most profitable method of marketing that's ever existed. And so I think looking for ways to do that, I think is a very smart decision. And I think there's probably more of it to come from other destinations.
Yeah, and I think it goes beyond just locals. I think potentially you could enlist visitors as well to become advocates, and if there's the right kind of incentive around that. And I shared an idea with you the end of last week around this. So, and I've been sharing it with my team internally, but I do think we're exploring this concept of how do we activate cheerleaders, right? Whether that be residents, whether that be visitors, to be promoters of the destination. So, Dan, love to hear your take on this.
Yeah, I think it's easier. I haven't seen the article or any of the background on it here, but just in what you're talking about, it's really bringing influencers at scale. And what's the difference of giving everybody a redemption code or my own personal referral code, rather, that you would give a social influencer that is you've paid to do this and you're giving it to the residents and giving them a chance to give back. I think 9,000 might be a very expensive cost of customer acquisition there, but I think there's something that you could definitely give to people that's more than just some sort of accolade or benefit there.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, yeah. Apologies for not sending that article. You both threw me under the bus. I didn't send it before the show, but I
I made it
appreciate
sound
that.
like it was me, Stuart. I made it sound like I was slacking off.
No, that's okay. I don't mind being called out at all. It's totally fair. Totally fair. Okay. Well, let's jump into the episode, shall we? Dan, I think, we'd reached out to some previous Desties a few weeks ago and said, hey, what's on your mind? Have you got any sort of things you're thinking about? And you came back with this presentation that you've been working on for a couple of upcoming conferences. So I'm just going to hand it over to you and let you sort of tell the audience why you feel like this is a subject that's important right now, and then we can jump right into it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Stuart. It started out as, I guess maybe where I started was going to a bunch of conferences and board meetings where, we've seen a lot of boards just become and DMOs just become very defensive about their budgets. We saw the stat, a while ago that was 40% of people think that their budgets are, at risk and are going through a lot of political challenges that it came out. I think DI did came up with that one. And then this spring, we just had a series of things that was consumer sentiment's terrible. Nobody trusts anybody. And we had another, challenging sentiment read this month as well, coming down in what consumers are saying. And everybody just, felt like was in a, I don't want to say a malaise, but just where's the optimism? And you look at the optimism of what's coming, and it just seems like people were retreating a little bit. So taking a look at that, and then taking a look at the research, we're like, what we're seeing is very much the opposite. We're seeing a tremendous amount of opportunity. We're seeing growth that continues to look favorable in the market. We're seeing what we're talking about as a vacation dividend. That is going to be part of what the upcoming productivity boom that AI is going to deliver is coming forward. So all of these things coming together starts to make it seem like a really sharp opportunity for to be bullish in tourism and to be bullish in what we expect DMOs to be part of and doing. The question is, are we going to continue to optimize towards that lower funnel conversion? Or start thinking more about brand and thinking more about being in the rooms that are shaping what 2040 looks like. And I think, the Sojourn article that was out, last that came out maybe Q1 that said 60, something like 60% of budgets went from brand to being, 60% focused on conversion funnel is kind of the exact opposite move that we should think DMOs should be doing right now, especially with both AI and with a lot of the investments that people are looking to make in different ecosystems.
Yeah. So let's unpack that, because we've talked about this on the show before, and I think the DMOs are doing the exact wrong thing at the exact wrong time, right? So I think if I step back and say, why is this happening, or what is happening, to restate what you said, is folks are shifting money from top of funnel brand awareness and creating new demand to shifting budget into the measurable lower funnel, harvesting existing intent to drive some of their vanity metrics like clicks, right? And I get why there's an urge to do that, or an impetus to do that, because we see organic traffic shrinking. We see that AI is beginning to shift some people into different modes of planning. And so if we define our relevance as how many clicks we send to our stakeholders, the only way to not look like we're doing a worse job today than we did a year ago is to artificially stimulate that side of the economy, right? So, going more towards things like branded keywords on Google instead of broader keywords. So in a case like Myrtle Beach, it would be, hey, we were doing like South Carolina beaches keywords, or just East Coast beaches, and now we're doing visit Myrtle Beach kind of keywords, like Myrtle Beach in a keyword, which doesn't necessarily generate any new visitors to Myrtle Beach, but on paper it makes us look better because we're going to harvest a higher quality lead that's going to lead to more likely a conversion. So I get why it's happening. Why it's the exact wrong time is, if we continue to do that, what we're going to do is erode the money that we've been spending on creating demand, and ultimately our economy is going to suffer. We're going to look better on the short term, but in the long term, our economy is going to shrink because we're not generating new interest. And that's going to exacerbate this sort of death spiral that we're inevitably going to face because of AI, the way it's continuing if we don't evolve. Adam, you have a take on this?
Well, this is something that I feel really passionate about, and something that I agree with both you guys, and I hate to do that because we're supposed to disagree a little bit on this show. But when we talk about the difference between capturing existing demand or harvesting existing intent, like you worded it, Stuart, and creating new demand, the problem with the existing intent or demand is that the work that led to that demand has already been done. And so what we're doing, and the reason both of you are saying that this is somewhat of a terminal issue, is because if all of our efforts today are focusing on harvesting the work that was done yesterday, we're not building for tomorrow at all. And that's one of my biggest concerns with the way things are going. And by the way, we built this because somebody along the way, which, by the way, I don't even know if it was a DMO. I bet it was an agency that pitched a DMO on this concept of using website traffic to justify existence, because agencies have been doing that for even longer, right? But the problem is that DMOs have set the tone with their boards. They've set the standard with their boards and their stakeholders that this is how we are relevant. This is how we create impact in the community. And we built this house of cards on it, but we have sacrificed creating new demand or future demand. And so there will be no demand to harvest if we don't do the work to create new demand. And I really think we are closer to the cliff in more destinations than we actually realize, because I think the AI boom is going to exacerbate this issue much more. And that's why I think the VFR discussion that we had at the beginning of this conversation was really important, because that may be one of the key tools we can use to create new demand as opposed to just harvesting existing intent.
Yeah. And so, Dan, as you sort of begin to share this information with folks, what is the response be? Have you sort of talked about this with other DMOs, and are you getting any kind of reaction?
Yeah, we have. I mean, one of the key things is, taking a look back at history. When you look at, what, productivity's meant for vacation, when you go back to, kind of the Gilded Age, and what things were around the turn of the century, people were working something like 3,600 hours a year, right? Today, that's at like 1,700, 1,800 hours a year, right? And so, dramatic decreases. We didn't know what a Saturday was that wasn't work. We didn't know what a vacation was, and think about it in the same way that's out there. And it was left for really, vacation and travel is really left for absolutely the privileged, right? And throughout the course of, a lot of great work that was done, not just in, how labor markets changed, but how, the political markets changed, and, the unions and whatnot came together. really helped to protect and create something that has become inelastic, right? And vacation is now an inelastic part of the economy and what people are doing. So, and what I mean by inelastic is that, if something goes down, if your income goes down 10%, it goes down 10% or less, right? And that's the same way travel works in the market and how it trades. It doesn't trade like what furniture or car sales or all these elastic things are that are, things that might go down 25, 35% down in a pull down. So when you think about that from an economic standpoint, when you're looking to people outside of tourism and thinking about developers as well, having that as a core base to understand this is what we're investing in and this is why this part of the economy is so significant and it matters more than some of the other attractions that economic developers are bringing in, this inelastic demand to assets an important part. And I think the other part that, and that part has, very much resonated with everybody that's heard it and, talked about it. But I think the other part that underlies, Adam's point, it's not just about future brand, about brand recognition. It's about future brand of brand development and destination development. So when we look at what the is happening on the demographic front, they talk about everybody talks about the K-shaped economy. But nobody's talking about how the middle class, how the middle class is shrinking, but they're not shrinking and staying in, lower income brackets. Lower income brackets went from something in the 30s to in the mid-teens today of people that exist in that first threshold of lower income. They took the wages, income, and discretionary income all went up, and they went up to upper middle income, high income, and above. Is where those dollars went, which means that the assets that people are going to be looking for in a destination are changing. And we're seeing that show up in the limited service numbers that are coming out of Marriott and Hilton and others of where people are paying. And if you're not thinking about brand, both in terms of the market, but also brand in terms of destination development, who do you, what assets are you creating, then you're not going to, be ready for that.
Yeah. In a place like Myrtle Beach, we really see that play out in real time. Historically, Myrtle Beach was a blue collar destination, right? Which really targeted the economy traveler. And so over decades, that product has sort of catered to that. And so we have a lot of hotel product, resort product that is, more akin, even though it's independent, it's more akin to those limited service. Even though it has some good amenities, it's what I would consider a two diamond or a low three diamond, a lot of that kind of product. And we're seeing this play out where they're really struggling a little bit in the current market conditions because their consumer isn't traveling, whereas the sort of upper tier and the mid scale properties are doing okay, And then we see this nationally where I was reading an article just this morning talking about luxury travel. You can argue what that means, but luxury travel was up 20 something percent this year, And so it's different, right? That the economy isn't the same. And so I think for us to continue to do the same things, expecting the same results is just foolish at this point. And so we do have to think more about what is our role when it comes to product development. How do we fund product development in a meaningful way to just to dollar shift from promotion to product development? Like there's a lot of conversations that need to be had, but you can't have it just as a DMO because if we just keep pressing we have to protect the budget at all costs for promotion and we're not thinking about the product, I think we're going to lose the argument, number one, but we're also doing damage to our community as well.
Well, and Dan just illustrated a double whammy that I'm not sure very many people are recognizing that's in the future. And that's the fact that I talked about the issue if we're only focused on existing demand, the work's not being done for the future demand to happen. On top of that, there's a lot of destinations who are trying to figure out how to get the kids who were brought by their parents to a destination as a kid, how to get them to bring their kids to enjoy the same assets that they enjoyed as a kid. And what they're not recognizing is that their destination, because it's the same destination today that it was 25 years ago when they were kids, it's not appealing to them because of the changes in the K-shaped economy, because the people who loved a mid-tier destination as kids expect a luxury tier destination as adults and want to take their kids to those different resorts. And I think when you combine the lack of creating new demand and the lack of creating new and higher end assets for the economy that's coming, I think that is a really dangerous place for a lot of destinations to be.
Yeah, I think that's why Airbnb's like filled in so much of that bracket, right, for so many of those destinations, because they've shown up and they've been able to provide not, a mid-tier hotel. They've been able to bring in a 3-plus bedroom, property that somebody can come in, because people are joining as a, they're coming as multi-generational. They're bringing their family, they're bringing kids, and we're seeing across especially the Hispanic audience, they're bringing more multi-generational groups there. They're also, the equivalent of spending of the fourth largest country in the world right now for what they're spending. So, it's a dramatically different economy.
So for the DMOs that are listening, we've sort of painted the one of the challenges, right, is this natural, understandable behavior to sort of shift budget. And if it's swung from 60-40 promotion to lower funnel stuff, or brand to lower funnel, to now 40-60 the other way, right? It's more of the dollars are going to the lower funnel stuff. How do we get out of that cycle? Like, what are the things that DMOs should be doing today, starting immediately, to begin to climb out of this rat's nest that we've created ourselves?
Advocacy's got to be number one, and being in the room. And it's so important to be part of the conversation, what's happening, not just legislatively, but what you have the ability to do. And the amount of constraints that or requirements to go in promotion often are written into law and how people get the funding. The same ability to do the collection, and we're seeing this in multiple different destinations where they have flexibility to purchase land or to help facilitate operations or help subsidize grants for small businesses and new destination development specific items, that they get that flexibility. And as we look at the space, the promotion dollars will come if you are successful in building the destination where people want. If you keep it constrained to just looking at promotion, now you're starting to really, constrain what options get available and what capital is available. So, thinking about it from a capital allocator perspective, instead of just a, spend before the end of the fiscal year, otherwise we lose it perspective, is one that just needs to take a different look from a fiscal management standpoint for sure.
And do you have an opinion on this? Like, where should DMOs be focused?
And I think you're going to respond and say it's one of the more dangerous things that you've heard, but I'm going to say it anyway. And that's the fact that I believe that a lot of the money that's being spent, and we shifted to 40 inspiration, 60 capturing existing demand, according to the article that we were referring to before. I think that 60% would be better spent in destination development than it is currently in capturing lower funnel intent. And I actually think that if I was running a destination right now that has a product that is decaying and a lot of money being spent on lower funnel promotion, and I had a magic wand. By the way, I know that every destination has their own political issues and challenges that come along with it. So it's easy for me to say, owning a business with 14 people in it, that I can turn the ship whenever I want, right? So I want to address that. But what I would do is I would take of that 60% that's currently lower funnel, I would take 40% of that and I would move it straight into destination development and start building assets for the next 20, 30, 40 years, as opposed to trying to capture intent from work that was done 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge with that is often legislatively you can't, right? There's restrictions on the dollars that prohibit that kind of shift. So it's usually going to take some kind of legislative change at the state or the municipal or county or municipal level. So that's a challenge. Two is, who administers that, right? Historically, municipalities don't have a great track record of using infrastructure dollars for tourism-related projects that are actually driving incremental business, right? And you see this all the time. I'm not going to out him, but there's a state official that is given the story that in their state, they have to deal with folks that are trying to spend a tax dollars, accommodation tax dollars on things like mosquito spray, because their argument is, well, mosquitoes will bite tourists too, right? And so there's not a good track record on the municipal side of making sure that dollars are intended to be used for tourism-related infrastructure that drives incremental growth of tourism. Overnight visitation is going to get spent the right way, and a lot of the ATAX hospitality fees are sort of loosely worded, and even specifically say, hey, you can build fire stations and police stations because that is public safety as part of tourism, or you can build better sewage infrastructure or water infrastructure, right? Because that does serve tourists. I think what we're talking about is, yes, all that has to happen through the existing funding mechanisms, but if money is diverted from promotion, either permanently or in a short term, it has to be meaningful projects of a certain level that are going to drive incrementality. The mechanism to ensure that doesn't exist today. At least I haven't seen it.
Now, I think one of the things that's challenging though is the DMO doesn't have to be the one running it. And I think this is where we sometimes get tourism dollars, and the tourism funding creates the trap that it has to be the DMO managing and marketing it. And there are professional groups that do that facilitate capital allocation, whether it's SBSC, whether it's EDCs, whether it's any of those other groups. It's just too often tourism groups aren't at the table, and you can always tell by the board of whether or not they're going to be invited back to the table or not. And that's what their board looks like. Is it all still the hoteliers and convention center type folks, or is it people that have the banks, have utilities, have healthcare, have, those spaces on the tourism board, because that's going to help get them into that room. And I think it's even possible to say that you don't have to do tourism development itself inside the dollars, but do you have a development strategy for your tourism promotion dollars that are targeted at future capital allocators or future developers for your community? That is just as much tourism promotion as anything else. Now, can I attribute that to a visit, or do I care to attribute that to a visit? No, and we shouldn't try to say it, pretend it is, right? You just say, I'm putting X percent of my budget into the future of what our community looks like in 2040. And we need to be talking to that group like this.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I don't know, like I only know South Carolina at all, really. I don't think technically we're allowed to do that. I think the way the it's worded, it would preclude us, because it specifically has to be spent to generate overnight visitation, either from out-of-state residents or from people outside of 50-mile radius. But I do think as a community, you should be thinking about it, and the DMO should have a seat at this table. Your chambers of commerce, your economic development, your downtown associations, obviously your governments should all have a seat at this table. But the conversation should be along the lines of, hey, do we have a destination master plan related to product development, right? In that that's well thought out and holistic in nature, right? We don't want different municipalities in our region doing these, overlapping things without coordination. Same way that you sort of think about the transportation infrastructure in a community, right? We should be thinking about tourism infrastructure holistically. I know Tampa does a really good job of this. They commissioned a study. I think they did it 2 or 3 years ago. They got another one coming out where they work together and say, here's the opportunities for investment from a tourism infrastructure perspective, and it rank orders what they are and sort of looks at what the level of public and private investment would be. So I think every destination should have that. It's something I would love to see Model Beach have. But then I think after that is the conversation around the funding of it. Like how does this actually happen? How is this the weight evenly spread across all of the stakeholders? Because often everyone's sort of there like Gollum with their precious, and they want to keep hold of their money, right? The reality is none of the money that taxpayers are paying is any individual organization or municipalities. It's the community's money. So can we as a community come together as a group of organizations and municipalities and say, he is the convention, the common wisdom between all of us that we should invest this much money in each of these buckets, you know, whether that be promotion, tourism development, public safety, you know, traditional infrastructure, whatever it might be. But I don't see too many regions operating like in unison, you know, all in collaboration like that too much.
I think that's fair. I also think that if we look at today's political and legal constraints as the constraints that we have to work within, we basically are guaranteeing that it's going to be a problem forever, right? And so I would say legislation, just as a rule, is usually way behind wherever economies and people are going. And so we all are guaranteed, if we're working in a DMO, to be working with constraints that are unrealistic for the time that we're in. And so, one thing that I would really consider, and again, I'm outside looking in, but one thing I would really consider is that one of the major initiatives I'm pushing constantly is forward-looking lobbying for legislation that's going to facilitate the tourism economy of the future as opposed to the tourism economy of the past. And how many of us are proactively addressing the constraints that we have to work within as opposed to just looking at them as constraints? And this is where I think private businesses sometimes have an advantage in that case because we obviously don't have those constraints, but also when we have them, we have to figure out a way around them. We don't have a choice or we can't survive. Well, DMOs, I'm not saying find a way around your constraints. I'm saying have an intentional plan to remove those constraints because it's only going to get exacerbated for the future. The legislation and the gap between the legislation and where tourism needs to go is going to continue to widen unless we're proactively addressing it and trying to pull it along as we go.
Yeah, I mean, I'll push back on you a little bit because I think the risk is unintended consequences, right? So the restrictions are there for a reason because at some point folks would maybe not behaving within the spirit of the funding, the intent of where it should be used. So that people put up sort of these pretty strict restrictions in order to prevent bad actors. You know, a city council could become pretty different anti-tourism in pretty quick short order, especially in a destination if you've got a lot of retirees, older folks, right? So that you run the risk of giving too much flexibility to folks that you maybe aren't aligned with down the road. So I think you have to have a certain set of rules that everyone can agree to. But I agree, you should always be looking at shifting. I think anytime you're looking at tweaking re legislation, though, there's a risk, right? Because any kind of elected body, whether that be at your state or municipal or county level, there's a number of unknowns and unpredictabilities that when you go to try to monkey with something and change it, that it could end up not going the way that you as a community need it to go. I think the biggest shift for me, though, is, you know, this whole debate about what are we as a DMO, right? Are we a destination marketing organization? Are we a management organization? Yada yada yada. Or stewardship? Yada yada yada. I think increasingly, I'm of the opinion that we have to be involved in shaping the actual experience, right? I think that's an imperative moving forward that wasn't necessarily an imperative previously. And even I can look at Visit Myrtle Beach. I think if you'd asked me 3, 4 years ago, our primary and almost exclusive responsibility was promotion, right? We were driving the, we were filling the, putting the gas in the engine and making sure that it was going really well. And we were filling the funnel and converting. But now we actually just had our board vote a month or two ago on a new mission and vision statement. And we're going through a whole strategic planning session right now. And we've switched our mission and vision. And now we talk about our role being to drive overnight visitation, to grow the economy, which is different, right? There's ways to grow the economy that isn't necessarily more visitation. And the final piece of this is to shape the experience of the destination, both for visitors and residents, right? So that's sort of the three pillars of what we're doing. And now we've got a list of like 23 goals, I think. Six, seven, eight of them are under each of those three buckets. So we're going to have equal responsibility for driving visitation, growing the economy, and shaping the experience. So I think it's fair to say Visit Myrtle Beach is going to be fully invested in being a steward of the tourism economy as well as a driver and a promoter.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the direction we have to go, is we're looking for significance, right? Beyond promotion, as it becomes more and more difficult for us to measure the impact that we're having and influencing people to choose us. I think we're going to have to find new novel ways to grow the economy beyond, hey, we generated a click to this member.
I think the only way to, that significance piece and getting to the experience layer is one that is requires having to work with so many different groups, though. Like it's working across all those, and you end up becoming a communications layer within that group in order to provide almost like an alerting and judgment framework to provide to decision makers. Because again, you can't manage the experience, but you can provide insight into the experience that people are having to help other people make decisions. And that's the cautious line to be able to walk through when you're going through. And I guess, that experience score, if you will, if you did that, could end up driving who you're going to promote and who you're going to recommend in, potential future AI interactions on your website or, through any sort of libraries there as well, could be interesting.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt we've got to be more collaborative. A lot of DMOs have operated in isolation, sort of said, hey, we're going to be over here with our pool of money and we're going to promote the destination and we'll, talk to our stakeholders, but we're not really dabbling in the economic development side or working with the municipalities on a long-term vision of infrastructure and stuff like that. I think inevitably moving forward, the DMO has to play a pivotal role in every aspect of tourism. Right, not just the actual driving and the visitation, but every aspect of tourism we need a seat at the table. And sometimes we'll be the lead, right? But sometimes we're just going to be a support. Sometimes we'll just be sharing information, to your point, but I think it's imperative that we're in those conversations moving forward, and we're less territorial. We don't have this moat around us and saying, "Stay away from our money." I think that's. There was a recent stat that said, I think it was over a third of DMOs are worried about their funding, right? And so that seems low to me. I think that probably 100% are a little bit worried about their funding. But I think if we continue to focus on the work we're doing this and driving significance, the money part won't be such a problem. If we're
Well,
not doing a good enough job telling people why we're investing and how what an ROI is, then we're not doing a good job.
I will say that that protection instinct for all the DMOs that are out there right now is also based on one potentially false assumption. And that potentially false assumption is that the way the DMO is spending the money today is a better use of those funds than what the possible alternatives might be. And I'm not suggesting that everybody's doing it wrong or anything like that, but I would say the reason to collaborate and even have those conversations, it will take, in order to have a successful outcome, it will take the humility to recognize that what you're doing today may not be the most ideal use of those funds, and you're going to have to come to the table with that open mind. And that doesn't mean that you're going to give in to whatever the other side of the table comes up with. Of course not. But you have to be prepared to possibly admit that a allocation of those funds differently than they're allocated today may be better for the long-term outcome for the destination. And that's hard to do.
It is, because there's a default for the status quo, right? We know it's sort of working unless the wheels are falling off and there's a major problem. We know that what we're doing isn't hurting the economy. I think you're right that DMOs have this sort of almost God complex at times that we know best, right? That we can invest the money better than anyone else. And that's true to a degree because there's numerous case studies out there, dozens and dozens of when you increase promotional dollars or decrease promotional dollars, there's an outcome that's very predictable, right? There's never really been a case that I've seen where reduction in promotion has led to a greater visitation, right? But we haven't really looked at this holistically and said, okay, well, what is the real return to building a Sphere in Las Vegas versus promoting an extra $1 billion in Vegas, right? that doesn't exist because it doesn't happen in isolation. You know, because you could make the argument, hey, Sphere in Vegas was built, and then 2 years later they were down 17%. So therefore, product development doesn't work. But then on the other hand, I've got Tiffany on my team that just got back from a Backstreet Boys concert at the Sphere, that her sole reason for visiting Vegas was because of the Sphere, right? And so the problem is, there's us on one side of this equation arguing that promotion is the be all end all and that we're the best at doing it, but there's not really a plethora of informational data out there on the other side of this, right? It doesn't really exist. So there's a little bit of a leap of faith that has to happen for you as a community. And I think where it goes wrong is sometimes municipalities will be like the hungry, hungry hippo, and they'll just say, you have too much money in promotion, we're going to take that. But there's not really a plan that can be measured in terms of its impact. And I think that's where why DMOs tend to be as protective as they are.
Yeah, I think that protection just goes against them. And, when they get the more isolated, the fewer allies you have, from a political standpoint. And the more you're working across a number of different places, the greater the sound of advocacy is to get somebody, protected. And, Visit Florida's budget's been at risk multiple years. And it's not just tourism, voices that show up that, come out to, protect visit tourism, Florida's budget. Oh my goodness. And the tourism budget there, it's, it comes out from a lot of other folks that are touching it or adjacent to it that have that personal brand and name recognition, with folks. So I think that's a big part of, what you see. I might throw out just something else just as you think about it. And one of the areas that, I think membership-based organizations, you think about that relationship with the community. That relationship has been so transactional of like you joining us. Kind of like you mentioned, Stuart, of that God complex piece of, how much are we thinking about what's the service back there, and being able to provide them that service or analysis back to them, other than just ads or additional promotion or listings that actually have value to how their business runs, could be really powerful.
Yeah. And I think if you dig your heels in too hard for trying to protect, quote unquote, your money, right, as a DMO, what happens is we've seen what can happen, right? We saw it in Duluth a few years ago when the city council basically disbanded the DMO and hired an agency. And we've seen that it's happening too in, is it College Park, Georgia now, where they're looking at doing something similar. And so I'm sure there's other examples of this. So we got to figure out how do we operate as good citizens of the community, not good defenders of our organization. I think that's the shift we have to make in our mindset. And sometimes we got to do things that maybe aren't in the interest of our organization, but they do benefit the community better. This is a conversation we're having in Myrtle Beach right now, and it's I think we all agree in principle that more investment in product development, tourism-related infrastructure is good, in that we're willing to, as a community, the business community is willing to pull back on promotion to catalyze that. I think the only thing where we're not quite aligned right now is where's that line move to, right? If we have X dollars in promotion right now, how much of a haircut should that take in order to find the right balance? And the problem we're dealing with is we don't really have data on the other side, right? We know what our ROI is for tourism promotion. We don't really know what the ROI will be for potential projects yet to be determined what they will be, So that, again, it's a bit of a leap of faith, but we're willing to be good faith partners with the community in that conversation. So it's tough though. A lot of emotions, and not everyone agrees, certainly on the business side.
Well, and we've talked about, Stuart, several times on this show, the importance of coalition building before there's a crisis. And I mean, and by the way, I know that there's situations where it's not that easy and it's not that simple, but the CEO, president of a DMO should always be building that coalition between departments, between different power brokers in the community. Because then you've got advocates when that time comes, and sooner or later those conversations are going to happen, And the coalition building has to happen long before the crisis.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to forge a relationship when you're on different sides in a crisis, right? But if you already have that foundation, it's a lot easier. I couldn't agree more. I mean, Brad Dean, friend of the show, been on before, always talks about, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And therefore, he says, if you're not at the table, then get a bigger table where you can fit, And so DMOs are uniquely positioned to be a convener around topics that are tourism related. And so, if you want to get alignment within your community and you have multiple municipalities, why not invite all the local mayors or all the local city managers to a breakfast or to a lunch in your office and just a casual get together and a sharing of notes and priorities? Why not bring all the legislative folks from all your regional power brokers together, a couple of times a year and talk about what are your legislative priorities and how do we go to our state together in one unified voice to advocate for our region versus all trying to cannibalize each other. So there's things you can do as a DMO, either individually or working with your local chambers and other power brokers. But you got to shift your mindset, right? It can't all be about you and your organization. It has to be community first. That's the only way it can be successful. Dan, I don't know if this is the conversation you're expecting today. Originally, when you'd sent us the deck,
It's
it
always
was
going to
more
be
data
fun.
driven. Yeah.
Yeah, it's always going to be fun. And I think everything we talked about is just underpins a lot of the where everything's going and why this is important, right? So the destination development conversation's more important now than it's ever been because you're going to have a vacation dividend and the ability to have more people that are going to be wanting to come to a destination, go more places. They're going to have more days and hours to be able to get on that vacation because it's expected and it's coming, and we expect that to be able to continue. You have, people that have higher spending authority and, spending ability rather, that to be able to go out there. And a much more diverse market that has dollars that spends differently than it has in the past.
Yeah.
And that rotation is just such an important part of this conversation.
And a lot more discerning, right? Their expectations are higher. Their ability to research and fact find is higher. But to me, that's opportunity, right? If you can put your best foot forward and provide the right information. Google actually came out with an article, I think it was August 6th, and it broke down, it was on their own blog, but it broke down how Gemini figures out travel planning itineraries, and it went through step by step what it thinks about. It was really fascinating. I might do a Stu's News on that because it's probably worth dissecting. But it's apparent to me that AI is going to play an increasingly important role in everyone's travel planning, even though we see all this fear mongering about, younger generations are rejecting, and now fewer than 50% of Gen Z want to use AI and all this stuff. People are creatures of convenience. They're always going to go to the path of least resistance. And, one could say people are lazy. And if you have a tool that can cut your research by, 9,000%, which it can, I think people are going to use it on en masse. So,
Sure. It's not that we're lazy. It's that we're more productive and we're more
is
efficient.
that what
That
it
makes
is?
you productive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
Yeah.
productivity dividend.
I'd say most people are lazy. But, yeah. But it's interesting. I do agree with you. I think there's a good likelihood that there's going to be more abundance as a result of AI. I think there's a good likelihood there's going to be more free time. I think the chances, people now are talking about things like universal basic income and 4-day work weeks. Like it's an inevitability. I'm not sure it is an inevitability, but it's a lot more likely than it used to be. And I actually had a conversation with my wife this weekend about this. About I was just talking about, because this is how romantic I am. We were on a walk and I was talking about the economy. But, it used to be it was a 7-day work week and then it went to a 6-day work week and then it went to a 5-day work week, right? There's a trend there that, and there's pressure at some point for some folks to move to 4-day. I mean, I'd argue that you lazy agencies have already gone to a 4.5-day work week, right? So
Who would you argue that to?
I don't know. Every DMO that gets frustrated when the agencies close on a Friday afternoon, that's all,
I
That's
don't know
not a
what
shot at
that's
anyone
like
individually,
exactly,
by the way.
but
That's just more of a joke.
no, I do. I am on the side of I don't know about universal basic income, but I do think universal health care, especially with the increasing costs of health care that's coming out, and I do think 4-day work week is coming, just in terms of what we're seeing from, the production, the ability to meet existing needs with today's workforce. I think it's coming. I don't think it's here, by any means, but I do think it's coming.
If that happens, those who are creating new demand today will win.
I mean, even if it doesn't happen, those that create new demand will win. So I think we got to inevitably do that. So, well, Dan, this is great. This is a different topic than we usually talk about. We usually are so obsessed with AI, even though this sort of was a result of thinking about the impact of AI. This is a very existential conversation, which I like. I think is relevant to all DMOs right now, and everyone I speak to on the light side is struggling with these same questions, and so figuring out what our role is in a community, a place in the world, what our relationships look like. That's where we should all be thinking a lot, and where we're looking for guidance from the big industry, the industry leaders. We're really looking for help on that because I don't think anyone's figured it out yet. So thank you for bringing this. Any final thoughts from you before we hop?
No, just really appreciate the time. And since you referenced Tampa, I got to give them a shout out for winning Best Trade Show booth at ASCE. They just got the announcement today, right now.
Nice.
I think they're there right now. So,
They do
so.
a great job, man. They do a great job. I'm a big fan of theirs. So, yeah, that's awesome. If they want to find you, Dan, where can they do that?
You find me at dan@khm.agency.
Awesome. Yeah, that's right. You guys went through a name change, merger and a name change. Is that right?
We did. We just completed we completed the merger last October, and
Yeah.
this year really it's about how do we come and bring the brand together as Karsh, Hegg, and Madden, as we bring everybody together, and people have asked a lot of how has it been going, and why, and the why really comes down to looking at DMOs as being our core audiences and who we're focused on. Their boards need to have banks, utilities, educators, universities, and other brands on their boards as well. We felt like our audience needed to look the same, and that's a lot of what the Karshagen group brings to Madden is that connection with banks and advocacy and hotel educators and whatnot. So that area becomes an area for us to make sure that we're seeing things not just from a DMO only lens, but from a broader lens of what's going on in the economy.
Yeah, I think DMOs can learn a lot from outside our industry. We tend to be late adopters for sure. Adam, people want to find you. Where can they do that, sir?
Dan, thanks for coming on. This was really great. A couple things opened my mind, including the need for product to pace innovation with the marketing that needs to innovate with it as well. I think that's something I hadn't really connected the dots on as well as I should have. So thank you. Find me Adam at thebrandrevolt.com. You can find me on LinkedIn or of course on Tourism IQ.
Hey, and Adam, we have a big 100th episode coming up.
We do.
Do
Yes, we
we
do.
want to tease it and talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, so
We have some deets.
we want to do a live Ask Me Anything, where Stuart and I for a couple hours we'll do Destination Discourse live, and we want to just hang out with our Desties during that time. So more details to come. You kind of surprised me, so I don't have those details right off the top of my head at this exact
I
moment,
think we're
unless you
looking at
do.
September 18th at noon Eastern, right? Is that what we're looking
Yes.
at? It's a Friday, noon Eastern.
September 18th at noon Eastern. Be there if you're a Destie.
Or be square. And we'll be both pushing out on our LinkedIn over the next week or so. If you can't make it live, then you can post some questions that we'll answer. And then we'll be giving more information about how to sign up and make sure that you can actually follow along with the live stream. So September 18th, noon Eastern, mark it on your calendars because Destination Discourse 100 is coming. I can't believe it's been 100 episodes
That's
already.
awesome.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, thank you all for listening. Please leave a review, subscribe, do all that fun stuff, but also tell a friend. That's how people find the show. And so until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, this is the weekly moment where Stuart reminds everybody how important he is.